Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anything else listening. My name is Drew Badger from The Big Scary Show, and welcome to The Big Scary News, an offshoot of The Big Scary Show where we bring you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry that you need to know, plus an exclusive interview that you won't hear anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly sponsored by Froggy's Fog. Get all your fog products from frog juice to scents to foggers and more only at froggiesfog.com. And now, without further ado, here is the Big Scary News. We start off with this news from the Omaha Metro Haunters in Omaha, Nebraska. We're hosting a Friday the 13th double feature showing of this 1980 classic, Friday the 13th, and the 1981 sequel, Part 2. This event will be held on Friday, March 13th. How could it not? In addition to the double feature, there will be raffle prizes including Friday the 13th memorabilia, Omaha Metro Haunter swag, and a custom-painted Jason Voorhees mask. The event will be held at the Biltmore Apartments Theater located just off 120th and Blondo. The theater only holds about 50 seats, so this is an extremely limited opportunity. Don't miss out on the chance to celebrate the day by honoring the film franchise that made this superstition come to life. For more information, go to facebook.com/Omaha Metro Haunters. We have this news on the Great Horror Campout in Los Angeles. 1031 Productions, the worldwide leader in producing live horror attractions, has announced the return of the Great Horror Campout. The production will begin touring in June, kicking off its run in Los Angeles on June 5th and 6th. The production is a 12-hour overnight interactive horror camping adventure, unlike any other in the horror-themed event genre. Tickets are on sale now. Melissa Carbone, CEO of 1031 Productions, says, quote, "We are developing a night that is packed with layered interactive content to provide our campers with an experience they will never forget. This chapter will again continue to push the envelope and kill the spectator sport status quo in the live attraction space. Campers will leave feeling like they've been fully submerged in the experience for the entire night." Unquote. The Great Horror Campout offers campers a choice to sleep in 2- or 4-person tents. Campers can choose their level of engagement when they choose their activities and tent zone. The experience can be an extreme horror adventure or a more mild horror adventure based on preference. Additionally, Hellmasters from previous years will receive VIP status and many perks at all future campouts and 1031 Productions. Tickets can be found at greathorrorcampout.com. We have this news from the Twisted Zombie 5K Fun Run in Waynesboro, Virginia. Creative Works Farm, Camp Light, and Twisted Creations Haunted Attraction is putting on the first event of this kind at the farm. The 5K runners will run through the beautiful trails of Creative Works Farm. During your run, you will encounter obstacles, mud areas, and of course, zombies. You will have safe zones free from zombies, though, and you have the ability to go around obstacles and mud areas. Be on alert for infested areas where zombies will attempt to steal your life flags. You start with 3 of them. Please make sure when you register you purchase that extra flag life called a Camp Light Life. All money raised is going to the children of Camp Light. For more information on the run happening May 2nd at 9 a.m., visit facebook.com/TwistedZombie5K. That's twisted with a Z. We have this news from the April Ghouls Drive-In Monsterama in Vandergrift, Pennsylvania. It's the ultimate trip back in time to the grand old days of drive-in cinema. Due to popular demand and the fact that once a year just isn't enough, we present a spring weekend event, now in its 3rd year, entitled April Ghouls Drive-In Monsterama, in addition to the annual Drive-In Super Monsterama, which takes place in September. Like the September Monsterama, this event consists of 2 nights of classic horror and monster movie screenings presented at an authentic, hospitable drive-in movie theater. Like in September, there will be two big shows on two consecutive nights, which will start at dusk and go on until really late into the night. We encourage drive-in movie fanatics from all parts of the country to come out and experience something you'll never forget. What could be better than a weekend getaway topped off with two nights of classic monster movies on the big outdoor screen? We guarantee that this will most likely be your only chance to see so many of these types of films on the drive-in screen all in one big weekend, so plan your vacation now. On Friday, April 24th, the features will be the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Evil Dead, the original, Night of the Demons, and Demons. On Saturday, April 25th, the features will be the original Dawn of the Dead, Zombie, The House by the Cemetery, and Toxic Zombies, a.k.a. Blood Eaters. As usual, each night we will also present an array of vintage exploitation and monster movie trailers in between the features, which we know you'll love. We'll also have cartoons, classic concession stand advertisements, and more. Riverside Drive-In Theater is located at 2780 River Road in Vandergrift, Pennsylvania. The phone number of the theater for more information is 724-568-1250, and their website is www.riversidedrivein.com. We have this news from the Nightmare Chamber Haunted House in Medford, Oregon. The Randall Theater is very excited to announce the theme for the Nightmare Chamber 2015. We've chosen the theme, Underworld, based on the movie series about the age-old battle between vampires and werewolves. Which side will you choose? To keep up with all the latest information, follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/nightmarechamber. We have this story about a comic adaptation of the film Puppet Master. Action Lab Entertainment has drafted the cult horror movie franchise Puppet Master as the newest in its growing line of comic titles beginning in March. Licensed directly from creator Charles Brand, the Puppet Master comic series sees the menacing marionettes, who have evolved from creepy villains to somewhat likable anti-heroes, looking to get a life of their own outside of their wooden bodies. Written by longtime fan and Action Lab co-founder Sean Gaborin and illustrated by Michael DeSacco, Puppet Master follows in the footsteps of the movie's franchise's 10 films while aiming to be new reader-friendly for those who haven't seen the films. We'll have more information on this as it becomes available. And who knew Puppet Master had 10 films? Wow. We have a little vendor news from Grave Gear Studios. We here at Grave Gear Studios are proud to present our Haunt Q line of audiophiles. Imagine the ability to increase the atmosphere and safety of your haunt with just a few speakers. We've designed a series of pre-recorded audio files with the character of your choice, informing your customers of the dangers inside your haunt and the safety precautions they should take while providing an ambient soundscape that gives your lines an extra bit of life. Visit us today to obtain your Haunt Cue file, or message us today for us to create a custom Haunt Cue designed to the theme of your haunt or attraction. Email gravegearstudios@gmail.com, check out their Facebook page at facebook.com/gravegear, or their website, gravegear.com, for more information. We have this news regarding a remake of The Blob. The Blob is back, again. Get ready to fear this slowly moving gelatinous villain. We can't wait. Last we heard, Rob Zombie was looking to make a remake of this 1958 sci-fi horror classic all the way back in 2009, but that's apparently dead because Deadline.com is reporting that director Simon West is remaking The Blob for today's audiences. Principal photography is set to start this summer. West has confirmed that his Blob would be CGI, which is understandable, as he told Deadline. With modern CGI, we can now fully realize the potential of The Blob. The world I create will be totally believable, immersive, and emotionally satisfying. It's a thrill to introduce an enduring icon to a wider audience and a whole new era of fans. We'll continue to follow this story and keep you up to date as we get more info. We have this interesting story from Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper has offered to end Motley Crue's final show by killing all four members of the band. The shock rocker, who dies in a variety of ways during his own set, remains the special guest opener for the last leg of Crue's Farewell World Tour. The band last year signed a legally binding deal to ensure they could never again hit the road. Cooper tells Triple M, quote, "They finish up in the United States on New Year's, and that's their last gig. I told them, why don't you let me kill you on stage? That finishes everything. Four guillotines, floomp, done. Auction off the heads on stakes. Unquote. Frontman Vince Neil last week admitted he'll often start to choke up while singing Home Sweet Home, the last song in the band's farewell tour. Mr. Cooper, please make this happen. And finally, we have a little sad news from the Scaratorium in Columbus, Ohio. Firefighters say a broken furnace and tumbling temperatures created ripe conditions for a burst pipe inside the Scaratorium last Saturday night. According to a story from MyFox28Columbus.com, firefighters were called to an automatic alarm at the seasonal business inside Northland Plaza in Columbus around 3:30 p.m. The owner of the business and firefighters suspected the roof collapsed under the weight of the snow, but later found out that a 2-inch water pipe connected to a fire sprinkler had burst. The Halloween hotspot owner, Kelly Collins, said he and his co-workers checked the business several times a week to make sure the furnace is running. "We set it at 50 degrees. We don't keep it warm in here, but at least we keep the pipes from freezing," said Kelly Collins. "We've got to get the water leak fixed first, and then we'll get in here and start soaking up all the water, pulling it all apart, and drying it out." Collins says he's not sure why the furnace stopped working or if his insurance will cover cleanup costs, but he says the Scaratorium will be repaired well before the scaring season in the fall. The Big Scary Show sends best wishes for speedy repairs, and we'll keep you updated as this story develops. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
Tonight's interview is with Jerry D'Alessandro, the owner of Creepy Collection and creepycollection.com, and was recorded in February 2015.
And ladies and gentlemen, as you have well known if you've been listening to the shows for the last few weeks, we're talking a lot of vendors because Transworld is, oh my God, Transworld is just literally days away. A lot of people making their plans for St. Louis. Everyone's traveling down and checking out all the great stuff, all the cool products. What's new for 2015? All the mystery, all the suspense, all that great stuff. Hopefully we're going to answer some of it with one of our very finest vendors and sponsors of our show, Creepy Collection. Makers of some of the most insane static props and some of the most, well, frankly, disgusting stuff you've ever seen. You've seen their stuff at Transworld, Midwest, other shows out there. I got Jerry D'Alessandro all the way up in New York by God City. Jerry, you there?
Yes. Hello, Big Scary Show. Hello, Mr. Badger. How you guys
doing? We're doing fantastic. We're getting some of your weather right now, and frankly, I don't like it. So keep it back up there where it belongs, but I digress. Creepy Collection, been a sponsor with us basically since the beginning. We've loved your stuff. Great static props for the one or two people out there who have not heard of you, and very shameful if they haven't. What's going on? What is Creepy Collection all about?
Well, you know, we're about making some crazy-ass props, you know. We want to take things that basically we try real hard to do things that no one's ever seen before. And try to interject new ideas into the industry that sometimes they're just maybe just a tad bit too ahead of their time and take some time to catch up, but that's quite all right. You know, that's what we're known for, coming out with, you know, just crazy amounts of detail and products that just mind-blowing.
And mostly they're what we would probably call a static-type prop used as a display for a scene in a haunt or something like that?
Correct. You know, we dabbled with animatronics, and we tend, you know, I'm not an animatronic guy myself. I do not like doing animatronics. I do not like playing with mechanisms. I kind of get really, really, really crazy when I got to. So, you know, for a while there, we were kind of partnering up, and it was working good, but I just could not deal with the mechanisms and putting them in the stuff and, you know, getting the props on. And, you know, I realized that, you know, what I do is static. That's basically what I should be doing. You know, from that taught me to just do what you do best and keep doing it, you know. So, yeah, statics are our main line. And they are static, but they also are poseable. They're flexible bodies that you could pose off the Flex line. And we even have that in doll form now. And a big surprise, we got some semi-Fearflex flexible 8 to 10 foot static props coming out for Transworld.
Oh, please say there's no clowns.
There will be a, well, hopefully, God willing, we can pull a clown off. These props are still in development, and we only got a few weeks to go. So the crunch is on. This is our main thing for this year. Unfortunately, we're waiting for the bodies to come over from overseas where they were manufactured. So until they arrive, we're sitting here waiting ourselves to put these bad boys together.
So the big thing for a creepy collection at Transworld this year is going to be 8 to 10 foot tall statics?
Yeah, well, we have, yeah, the statics, I wanted to do some really big props. But I wanted to do them in a way that was easy for the customer or the end user to be able to display and take apart. Because a lot of static props out there that are ginormous from other companies, they're not so easy to, you know, store. They kind of stay really big, and that takes up a lot of room. So my idea is always being that we ship a lot of stuff. It's how can I make something and break it down to its bare minimums. So I designed this body to break down into three sections. So you could store it in three different sections, and it could be collapsible down to, like, you know, I think it's like 4 foot torso, 5 foot torso, the leg, you know, how the measurements are, but it basically breaks down into three pieces.
So it separates as opposed to folding, is what you're
Correct.
Saying? Correct.
Okay. Correct. And it's all foam, and it all locks together, and it comes with a stand, and it's pretty awesome stuff. And the sculpt is amazing on the body. We have some really good concepts lined up. The only drawback was that they weren't able to get me the amount that I wanted for Transworld. So we ordered up 10 to start with, and we're only getting about 3 for the show. So we're kind of like, yeah, so now becomes the to choose which of my 10 designs, out of them, which 3 are going to make it to the show. We have no idea yet. We have some really great designs, and we don't know, you know, we're going to figure that out as they come in, which ones we're really going to pump out. The good news is, you know, necessity is the mother of all creation. So having a lot of ginormous products that we, you know, wanted to do, we're actually starting to kick it over to our mid-range products. And we have a way that we developed back 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe, to 2012 to actually take our mid-range product and make it bigger. So we're like, I don't know if you guys seen the 7-foot Grim Reaper I produced on Facebook. I put a picture of it. That was produced on our mid-range product. That is not part of the bodies that we're bringing in. So that means if you guys know my product line, mid-range is a really good price point. So a 7-foot cheap ass Grim Reaper is going to be our Transworld. The price is going to blow your mind. You see how big this thing is, the detail in it, and the price that we're going to put it out for is ridiculous.
And it's all Fearflex.
No, that will be a hard rigid foam. It's a hard rigid foam, that particular one. The big 9-foot bodies and 10-foot bodies, they can't all be Fearflex because they'll fall apart. So we have sections that are poseable on them that the end user can, you know, pose different parts of the body as they need. You know, hopefully we nail down these designs. We do have a clown design that's pretty intense that I would like to do. We also have an eight to 10 foot zombie design, which I think would be great for corn mazes. We have a giant pumpkin killing eating scarecrow design for an 8 to 10 foot, right, which is something I haven't seen in a long time. You know, we haven't really seen that many giant killer scarecrow looking products. So I wanted to do something a little different. We also have a 8 to 10 foot devil, which is insane. And that's one I definitely want to push out. But that's one definitely has got to go on that body. He's just such a big, he's about 10 foot with his horns. So we definitely want to put him out on the body. And we had the pyramid head guy slated. You know, there's definitely going to probably be more bodies added after the show. It's mm-hmm. something that we're going to have to do because we got all these designs set up for them, you know. So, God willing.
Now I've got to ask you. You know, with The Walking mm-hmm. Dead being as popular as it is, still the most watched show on cable, you have got so many just really kick-ass zombie props out there. As far as you know, different styles, male, female, various stages of decay, color, and all that stuff. Are zombies, in your opinion, still the hottest thing out there? Or is there a new trend that you see coming up the way? I mean, you've got, you know, plague victims, you've got scarecrows or vampires or any of that kind of stuff. What's if and when the zombie, you know, trend dies down, what's the next big thing? And are you at the forefront of it, or are you just kind of watching and guessing what's going on? Or what do you think is going to be the next big thing that you might be making props in the next... Wow.
I'm going to tell you, Badger, I don't think zombies are the real big thing anymore. I think that ship has sailed 2 years ago. However, we will still be making zombies as long as I'm breathing on this earth, God willing, because I love zombies. I've always loved zombies. They frightened me as a child. You know, Dawn of the Dead, when I first saw the original Dawn of the Dead, I was so scared that society could break down and there could be nothing left out there. And you'd have to, like, resort to eating Spam and be happy about it because it comes with its own can opener. And, you know, just that movie there, it terrified me. I wanted metal doors on my houses. I wanted all that stuff, and I was only probably, like, 13, 14 years old. So zombies and me, we go way back, and I will never not produce zombies.
Sure.
To me, it's not about a trend. It's about love. So we have, this year, 8 zombies going to Transworld, as opposed to 20 zombies that we've had in the last 2 or 3 years. But I tell you this, the 8 zombies I have going to Transworld will destroy any zombie I've ever produced to date. They are, I kid you not, I have one haunter from the Nightmare Factory, I believe it is, right? Tony, what's the name? Factory of Terror, sorry, I made a mistake. Factory of Terror. And he actually was telling me he was not coming to Transworld this year. So he's like, what do you got? This was in January. I sent him some pictures of these new zombies. I was like, hey, I got some pictures to show you, some zombie rotters. That's what we'll call them, zombie horde rotters. He was like, oh, my God, dude. He's like, those are, like, the best zombies I've ever seen in my life. Because I have this big, great scene in my haunt that I've been dying to put zombies in. But he goes, I can never find zombies that I felt were good enough for this scene. But he goes, I'll take the whole line off your hands. I want them.
Wow.
So I was like, I took that as, like, a good nod. But, and all the time, as I'm creating these zombies, Val's chirping at me in the background how I'm putting too much work and effort into them and how, you know, there's too much going in. You're out of your mind. Why are you doing this? You know, because I love zombies. And, you know, I felt that we needed some different kind of style zombies to propel and make them really rotten and gross, you know, skin layer effects on it. So put a lot of effort into these guys. So whether they sell or not, I don't care. I make them because I love them. You know, people love them. They're going to buy them. You know, if they're zombies out, you know, The Walking Dead has done something really bad for zombies. They made them irrelevant, in my opinion. That more, you got to be scared about the people more than the zombies now. But they're starting this season to get the zombies back into it a little bit, which is cool. But, you know, now what do I consider is the big thing? Well, if you're paying attention out there, watch television and watch a movie, you would have to say that ghosts have been, you know, taken over. There's more ghost movies out, more ghost TV shows, ghost this, ghost that, ghost, 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 and a little bit of demon sprinkled into that. Now, do I find that exciting? No, I find it extremely boring. You know, because the only way to do a really good ghost, in my opinion, is not to see it. You know?
Sure.
Period. You know,
so just...
You know what I mean?
just throwing a sheet over somebody just wouldn't do it, I guess.
You know, we've made ghosts in the past, and we put the white sheets on things, and we put, you know, the scary-looking faces and the dead stares, and yeah, they're cool. They're cool. But, you know, to me, a ghost is something that's going to pick something up from a room, come on the other side. You know, if you're going to really do ghost ride, mists and, you know, smoke, that shifting, it's just technology that no Hornet has yet, not that I'm aware of.
Right.
It's going to be costly. So it's something that, you know, that's the trend. So you got to try to mirror image it a little bit. And we've done that with, like, you know, other things. Annabelle, dolls like Annabelle, I mean, can't stress enough how popular that little doll is, and people love her so much. But as far as what's like the really next big ticket item, I think everyone's been asking this question for quite some time, and a lot of vendors have been fishing for it. I don't think anyone's pulled it up yet. I think what it is it's a combination of a lot of great ideas that are making everything work really well. You know, we spend a lot of time on development of new ideas. And I actually put one out, was this clown I made for Transworld. And I don't know if you got to see it, the clown I made with the tattoos, but it's pretty much a shirtless clown with tattoos on it. And there's tattoos all over, white and black tattoos. The only clown element is the hair and the pants and the arm sleeves. And he's got blood, and they got black eyes, and they're smiling, and they're gross, and there's blood all over him. And I actually put a post about it on Facebook. I was so proud, and I was like, the evolution of clowns has begun. And I put the post, and I was like, yes, something new, a new way to look at it. I got a lot of likes. I got about 87, 90 likes on the prop. But one guy, one hardcore guy who loved his clowns, turned around and said, the de-evolution of props for clowns. Mm. And I was like, you see, I mean, I get it. You know, when you start messing with recipes or what people expect, you know, you're going to get that. And that, I'm cool with that. You know, I'm cool with that because that means that I'm putting new ideas out there. And although I might, you know, it might take some time to break down some stereotypical walls that people have of what something should look like, you know, we want to go with something that you've never seen before, something that your customers are not expecting. Because, you know, they can go through 10,000 haunted houses out there and see the same clowns at every haunt, whether it was from our company, mixed in with other companies. They're all dressed in, like, similar costumes, similar styles, similar this. How boring is that? How boring is it to keep seeing the same stuff, the same costumes, the same? You know, I go through haunts, not mentioning names, but, you know, when I see something different, it wows me. It makes me excited. And I'm not just talking about props. I'm talking about the way a scare set up, the way a room set up, something I've never seen before. You know, but when you kind of seen it once and then you see it in everyone else's place, it's kind of, like, boring at that point. So we tried very hard this season to walk a line of doing things that we felt we've never done before, things that we've never seen before. Now, how this transpires at the floor of Transworld, it's always a risk, but it's a risk I'm willing to take to further what we do and further my industry.
What would you say is your best seller at Transworld or Midwest? And the rumor is you might not be at Midwest this year if Transworld is as successful as you're hoping. What is your best seller, and what percentage of things do you bring to Transworld that are new versus things that you've had for a couple of years or 3 or 4 years, people, what they expect to see?
Everything is new. We never bring last year's props.
Oh, really?
Transworld. That's correct. We build from the ground up every single season, all fresh new props.
So if you miss something this year, then you just don't get to see it again unless it's in the on the website catalog or other.
That's correct. We always try to, you know, the idea of that was always, like, we don't want to rest on what we've done. We want to push into stuff we've never done. I always felt, you know, too, if you always look at it too, Badger, and you know, just look at the haunt industry and you know, through history. As props, too. Let's pick any prop. Some of my favorites from way back when. How about Scary Carrie? Remember her?
Vaguely, the name is familiar. If I saw her, I could probably pick her out of a lineup.
Distortions, prop, hung on the wall. Used to be first originated.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I didn't know the name of it, but yes, I am quite
Scary Carrie, or her zombie sister, Bad Betty. Now, these two props, when they came out, everybody had to have them. Everybody wanted these products. Everybody had to get them. All right, let's take a look at the electric chair, as a matter of fact, a little bit of an animatronic, too. You know, still a good seller, but, you know, first year, really great seller. Second year, sales start tipping off because it's already been out there. By the third year, you're going to see a decline in product sales, so dramatically. So you can't really sit on what you've done and rest on the idea. You have to keep producing new ideas to keep your momentum. So we try to stay fresh, 100% fresh every season, and come up with as many groundbreaking ideas as we could possibly, as I could filter through my head, you know. And that's part of it, you know. That's part of keeping things fresh and good for haunts.
Excellent. We were talking before the interview started that you're probably going to have a smaller display this year, more quality over quantity.
Correct. Normally by this time we have about 80 life-size props already done. This year I put a lot more work into these products. I put my heart and soul into them, basically. The designs, because, you know, when I design a product, I don't sit there with a piece of paper and draw. I design it from my head, and I go. And so that takes me a long time to get the look the way I want it the first time out. So what we did was, I actually told this to Val last season. I said, you know, I want to try something different. Instead of trying to come up 80, 100 new items that are pretty damn good, let's come out with 40 of the most amazing life-size standing products that, you know, we could come out with. And I said, we can't rest on zombies and we can't rest on clowns, even though we kind of did a lot of clowns again this year. But I said, we cannot rest on what we've done. We cannot rest on the products that are staple products that everyone's like, you know, because we need to push into new areas. We need to push into new ideas. We need to push into new realms for the haunt industry. And, you know, I even went as far as Badger as researching, you know, like I had this conversation with Tony, the customer, and we were talking, and I kind of opened his mind up to something that he wasn't even aware of. And I turned around, I talked to him a little bit about some of the creepypasta killer kind of style stuff we have. And the Slender Man, he was like, who? And I'm like, the Slender Man. He's like, who? And then I tell him about some other designs, and he was like, what are those? He's like, I wouldn't even know what they are. I said, see, that's exactly why I'm doing them. Because, Tony, you may be, you know, 50s, late 50s, but guess what? The people coming through your haunt are not.
That's
so the
true.
Ideas that you think, the ideas that you think that are great for your haunt are probably not what your core customers are looking for anymore. They're looking, you know, our Michael Myers, our Freddy Kruegers, our ideas that we loved growing up, these kids do not care about. But they do care about Jeff the Killer. They do care about Glenn the Man. They do care about the other guy, whatever his name is, this Five Nights at Freddy's thing with these kids. My kids are, like, they're into this stuff, and they get excited. I put Slender Man, Jeff the Killer, outside my house for Halloween. I cannot tell you the amount of foot traffic these two props and how many pictures and selfies were taken with these products nonstop, hours upon hours. People getting out of their car, taking pictures. Out of the car, taking pictures. I want to take a picture with Jeff the Killer. I want to take a picture with Slender Man. This was nonstop. And I have one of the most craziest, insane clowns that I've made right next to them. And he got a little bit of love, but everybody was pouring love into those products. And that just reinforced my belief that you have to open your mind to what's new, to, you know, embracing what your customers are looking for, you know? I'm sorry, but Bela Lugosi, Frankenstein, they ain't happening no more. You know, even Michael Myers, and yeah, he's still a little scary. These kids, they're drawn to what they're drawn to. You know, if you're going to attract the right, you know, what do they say? You got to fish with the right bait to get the right fish, you know? So.
Well, you got to remember, you know, we grew up on the Freddies and the Michaels and the Jasons, and
right.
Those terrified us. But, you know, we've seen them now for 30-plus years, and frankly, we're jaded to that stuff. You know, what
right.
is the next big scary thing? But the kids behind us, the generation below us, our prime demographic, the, you know, 14 to 29-year-olds, they look at Freddy Krueger as comedic as opposed to
correct.
Scary. Where we were terrified of it when we were 16, they're looking at it now like, well, listen to all those one-liners. He's not scary. He's funny. So
right.
I can absolutely see how you have to push those boundaries and you have to push those borders now because, you know, it's like you said, with the Draculas and the Frankensteins back in the 60s and the 70s, haunted houses can get away with a guy in a cape and plastic fangs and all that stuff. You try that today, You're not gonna make a dime there unless it's a nostalgia or classic tribute to the old monsters or something. But don't try to create an entire haunt based on it. Well, I mean, you know, as a side attraction as opposed to, you know, three or four other haunts with your area, maybe. And I do know of a haunt that does that, and they do fairly well at it, but it's not the only haunt that they have. They have several sections, and it's pretty cool. But again, you know, no one's scared of Lugosi. I mean, he's great for that nostalgic thing, but, you know, and that's why I guess Creepy Collection's not out there making Bela Lugosi vampires.
Correct. And see how you're saying it, like, with, oh, my God, Bela Lugosi. You know,
I love the movies. I love the old Universals, the Hammer films, all that great stuff. Fantastic. But my kids watch that stuff now. You know? My kids watch that, and they're not scared of that stuff. They think it's cool.
Black and white?
Yeah.
They're not going to even look at it. They don't want to know it. The bottom line is, like, you see what I'm saying? The actual idea of a Bela Lugosi or a Frankenstein in the house to our generation is what they're looking at when they see Michael Myers and Freddy. You know, Leatherface, I still have to say, the chainsaw rules, so they're going to, you know, always going to scream at the chainsaw. But really, is it the person wielding the chainsaw getting the scare, or is it just the chainsaw, you know, the loud noise? You know, 90% of the time, 100% of the time possibly, it's just the chainsaw going off that's making the people scream. Not really, you know, we've proven this fact by having a life-size baby with a chainsaw at one of our haunted houses, and he chased people out with the chainsaw and scared the hell out of everybody.
Go ahead.
It was terrifying, but yeah, no, we're trying. And sorry to go back to a question, but I didn't fully answer it. Yes, we are not going to Midwest. It has nothing to do with Trans World Success, you know, whatever the case. I have a scheduling issue this year, and my wife is completing her nursing finally for her 4-year degree, and that's the time frame that she's going to be finaling and doing that. That's part of it. And then the other part is, you know, we want to see what happens with Midwest yet, too, before we fully commit. I definitely don't think we'll be there this year. I'm 99% sure of that. You know, maybe next season, you know, we'll be back at the Midwest. But, yeah, I mean, that gives a great opportunity because we're going to move stuff into a trans world that we've never had a trans world before.
Well, there you go.
Right, like our budget line, you know, the budget body bags that you see all over, you know, at Midwest, and people buying and they want, you know, 125-hour, 6-foot bodies, well, they're going to be a trans world this year. We're bringing them for the home haunts that do attend. We're actually bringing off of a good chunk of our mid-range line, which we never did before. The mid-range line, well, mid-range line used to be our premier line, and then when we came out with Fearflex, we dropped down to, you know, well, we're not going to make this no more. But then it was like, it's a great product. Why should we throw it out? So we kind of just like, all right, we'll lower the price down on them a little bit, give this to the home haunt community. You know, we're not making as much money as we used to make on them. The profit's dropping, but consider it as like we're kind of like generating next, you know, generation. You know, as being a home haunt kid myself, you know, we always want the cool stuff. You always want the stuff that's in the haunted houses. You just can't afford it in great number. So I always wanted to, you know, have that where we could actually, you know, give a home haunt, a clown that looks as good as a Fearflex clown, but the body's not the same, and
sure,
you know, the price ain't the same. So it's $350 versus, you know, $599.
But like you said, you're seeding that next generation. Those home haunters, right. Someone's going to go pro, and when they go pro, they're going to come to you because you had such a great product for them before, and they're not going to go for the cheap end. They're going to go for the higher end, the Fearflex, the 7-footers, and all whatever new stuff you come up with from now until that point. So it's good community relations as well, and good customer service to do that.
Honestly, I don't think there's any real way to cheapen this industry. I honestly don't. I mean, from my end, of being someone that walked boat lines, that I ran haunted attractions, and I was a vendor, the two are very similar. The two are very closely tied together, and the relationship between haunter and customer are you know, a vendor and customer and haunter, it's a full circle. You really can't cheap your haunted house, and a vendor really can't cheap your product either. The two need to be as premier and good as great as possible for this to work. This day and age, everything's so, you know, out there, and you know, technology's moving, and, you know, kids these days have such short attention spans. You know, they don't have the attention spans that we had growing up. You know, they're watching YouTube videos, and they're bouncing to Facebook, and then they're bouncing to Instagram, and they're all over the place. And, you know, it's kind of a different feel, different generation out there. And we got to apply, you know, new tactics. You got to have great products that are different than anybody that no one's ever seen before, like, you know. And the Hornets have got to, like, and put that in and do things that they never seen before and, you know, hit those uncomfortable buttons on a lot of people because that's what's going to work. You know, we know that and we see it. And, you know, we test out things. You know, I send products. One of my customers, just a home horn, really great guy, this guy Harvey. And last year he orders up a good chunk of FearFlex bodies. He's like, every year he tells me, he gives me the biggest gift of the season. I want 10 Flex bodies. I don't care what you make me. Make me whatever you want because I know it's going to be awesome. And I tell him every year, Harvey, I want to thank you so much because I'm going to save your order for when I'm in the trenches of the season, when I'm working on the same props over and over and over and over, and I'm pulling my hair out from doing the same things, I'll use your order as a refresh, you know, to get in there and get my creative juices flowing. So I sent him a clown this Halloween, and he opened the box, and I called him because I was like, I know he's not going to like this clown. And I called him up, and I said, so how do you like the clown? He goes, honestly, I don't like it. And I was like, I knew you were going to say that. That's why I called you. But I want you to do me a favor. I want you to put it on your lawn. He was like, all right, I'll put it out. He goes, it's a little bloody and gory. I was like, just trust me. The kids are going to love the clown. He's like, all right, I'll take your word on it. He's like, I'm going to put it out. I was like, thanks. I said, I'll check back with you in November. If you don't like that clown and nobody looks at it, I'll refund you and take the clown back personally. He's like, all right. Called him up in November. I was like, Harvey, how'd the clown go? He's like, the clown was a huge smash. Everybody took pictures with him. All the kids were lining up to take pictures with him. People loved him. You blew my mind. Everything you said was going to happen, happened. He's like, so you taught me something new. I was like, well, Harvey, I was testing out this idea for next year. And I'm like, thank you for, you know. I was like, do you want to return the clown? He's like, no, I want to keep it. I was like, all right, very good. So, you know, we try to test our ideas a little bit. We do that, you know, like with him. I do it at my house. I try to see what really, I watch the reactions of people. I watch the core face. I watch their faces, seeing the products. I know what's going to work, you know, where the ideas are. I mean, sometimes it takes me, you know, especially at Transworld, it's very hard for me to get into people's heads because they may look at a clown and be like, oh, my God, you know, this, that's not, you know, our room design, yeah, but because you're not in my head yet. Let me tell you why I'm doing this. Let me explain why we're pushing this type of clown out or we're pushing this type of, because I know this is where we got to go. You know, I always say to Val, when I build props, I'm building props that I would want to see in my attraction.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't build props that I want to see in someone else's. I build these, like, if I'm going to do a haunt tomorrow, this is what I want to do. And every year I do that. This is what I want in my haunt this year. This is where I want to be, which is totally left field of everybody else. Because I know when people come through, they're going to be amazed by seeing stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, Jerry, I want to thank you for taking the time to come and talk with us a little bit about Creepy Collection here on the Big Scary News. For people interested who may not be going to Transworld, unfortunately, and not seeing some of these great products, how soon before some of these will be out on your website? And what would be that website or social media where people can see either works in progress, pictures, maybe get a catalog, maybe get some pricing, and certainly how to order something from Creepy Collection?
I'm going to tell you this. We always try our hardest every season to roll these products online at the same time as the show. And every season we have failed to do that. And that's something that I'm going to say on record, we will not fail at doing this season. We are putting a deadline on our prop production, and it's coming close. So instead of building props at the last minute, it's going to be out there. Now, there's one thing I want to say, Badger, before I get into that. It's kind of an important announcement, if you don't mind.
No, go right ahead.
Okay, our manufacturers are raising the price of FearFlex bodies after this year's Transworld. So we have no choice but to raise the pricing after the show. Now, I fought with them and argued with them to keep the prices. Let me have one last hurrah at the pricing that we've always rolled out, and that's going to be for Transworld Weekend. Well, Yeah, well, we call it weekend, but Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, as well as online. And for the, I think, the last week or two of March, as of April, our new pricing will take effect. It's going to be shown on the website, but the discount will reflect last year's pricing. So if you're looking to buy, that's the time to buy. Because I tell you now, I cannot stress this enough. This raise is not from us. They were looking to do this on me for the last year. Because if anyone knows anything about economics, China, where we have our manufacturing done, is going up. The price of everything is going up in China. It's across the board. All Halloween props are going up this season. You will see it when you're shopping at the stores. You know, you're going to see hands that you used to buy for $10 are going to be $15 this year in the stores, mark my words. Cut off legs that were maybe $15 are going to be $22, $23 this year in the stores. Everything is jumping up because of China, because their economy. Now, because of that, that's why we're, that's the major announcement I wanted to make, so everyone knows. The other thing was that about Midwest. Now, you want to go to creepycollection.com. We're going to have them. The day the show opens, our site's going to launch that morning. All Transworld discounts will be reflected on our site. Everything will be on there. We're not scolding anybody for not coming to the show. In this day and age with the internet, there's no reason to scold people. You know, people at the show, you want to come, you know, you're coming to the show, you're coming, you could see the product live, you could touch it, you could feel it, you could smell it, you could hug it, you could do whatever you want with it. And you could take it home and save yourself some shipping. However, if you can't do that, just go to creepycollection.com. The day the show opens, which I believe is what, March 19th, if I'm correct?
Something
in
like
the
that.
Morning. Yep, in the morning. And everything from soup to nuts will be on our website, ready to buy, to get in queue line with everyone else from Transworld. Your orders will count. So when you come online, we filter you right in. So Transworld order 1, 2, 3, and then we have an online 1, 2, 3, and we filter you in with those orders. And they're all produced at the same time, and they ship out at the same time as well.
Excellent. Well, I guess if you wanted to scold anybody, you could scold the Knicks for their season this year, but we won't get into
gotta
that.
Gotta rub that in. You want to hear the most ironic thing? My wife goes out and buys me a zombie Nick statue this year. She's like, oh, he loves the Knicks, and he loves zombies.
Be playing so, better in Stoudemire.
Well, I opened it up, and I was like, this is what you buy me? This season? This season, they're 10-40. A zombie. I mean, I'm great. It's a zombie, but I don't want to look anything Knicks this year. I was like, "Do they even exist?" I don't even think so. What? What a mess. I think Carmelo Anthony, as of today, is out for the season, pretty much. So.
Well, there you go. Well, there you go. You can insert him into power forward, and he'd probably play just as good right now.
But yeah, well, we're going to talk about, you know, I'm rooting for them Clippers, man. Those Clippers, gotta love the Clippers too.
We will have in-depth discussions at Transworld about the state of the NBA, my friend. But in the meantime, go to creepycollection.com. Check out all the cool stuff. If you're not going to Transworld, Jerry D'Alessandro, I want to thank you very, very much for taking the time to come on The Big Scary News and chat with all things Creepy Collection, a fine sponsor of The Big Scary Show. And one of our first ones, we love you, and we want you to continue with us. So everybody go to creepycollection.com. Jerry, again, thank you for taking the time to speak with us here on The Big Scary News.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank Prelude to a Nightmare and the CD Dark Ride for providing the music for this episode. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of The Big Scary News. We wish to thank Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor, www.froggiesfog.com. Remember to listen to the current Big Scary Show for even more news and information, including the Haunt Minute, Face Your Fears, great music from the Haunt Rocker, and the soon-to-be-famous Roundtable of Terror. Get all that and more only at bigscaryshow.com. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is Drew Badger signing off for The Big Scary News.